Don't say.
The Disciplined Investor is all about you, your money, and the markets. Sit back and get ready for this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
This episode of The Disciplined Investor is sponsored by Horowitz & Company. If you're looking for a portfolio manager, look no further. Horowitz & Company, from seed through harvest, cultivating financial success.
You know, there used to be only two ways to meet for business, over the phone or in person. Now there's a better way. Use GoToMeeting to meet online. With GoToMeeting, everyone sees your computer desktop on their computer screen, so you get the best of both worlds. It's like meeting in person, but without wasting time and money traveling. And your conference calls will be more effective. The best part is that you can actually try it for free. That's right, GoToMeeting is free right now for 30 days. For this special offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/podcasts. That's gotomeeting.com/podcasts for a free trial. Welcome aboard to the Disciplined Investor Podcast. It's Andrew Horowitz. And I am the host, and I am the fella at the microphone trying to bring together what I hope to be a very interesting, a hopefully very interesting program for you today, episode number 56. And we are going to be kind of going into a few different interesting directions because the CNBC Million Dollar Portfolio Challenge is underway. And if you remember way back when we started this thing, it was almost, you know, almost exactly when they started their last year's one, which obviously has some controversy. And I thought to clear up the air and tell us more about it, I'd bring on a specialist, someone from CNBC, to talk to us today about what is going to be done about making sure there is no little loopholes this year and to make sure that you know about how to join in. It starts on Monday. So Brian Shackman will be joining us in a minute. And I thought also it would be a good idea to talk a little bit about technical analysis because one of the things you want to do from a short-term trading strategy oftentimes is look at technical analysis or charting. And who better than that to bring on and to announce his new book, but Brian Shannon. He'll be with us today as well. And I thought what we'd do is get right to the chase without a lot of discussion. I have two or three things I want to talk to you about, and then we'll get right into these discussions today because I really want to talk to these guys about what you know, really how to do this. And also, I want to tell you what we're going to do about maybe communicating and putting this all together for the CNBC Challenge. If you have an iPhone, if you're listening to this on an iPhone or any device like an iTouch also, you can go over to the Disciplined Investor. We reformatted the site so you can look at it very easily and very quickly. When in terms of loading, the site comes up really quick over at thedisciplinedinvestor.com. Go check it out. It looks pretty cool, I think. You know, one of those really nice, easy-to-load iPhone formats, themes, if you will. And if you haven't checked out the reformatting, I asked you last week, and boy, we got a nice response, but I think there's some more we need to go. I want to get a really good response for this survey that we're doing, this listener survey, to make sure that we have everything that is in. We have some really cool things that occurred. I mean, everybody really likes the guests. They want to, you know, they like the format. There was a couple of things that people didn't like. You know, they wanted a little more explanation about certain things. Maybe some things we shouldn't talk about so much. And but otherwise, it looks like we're kind of on track. But I need some more help. So go over to the survey on the site. It's a little box there that you can click and just take a very. It takes you 3 minutes to do it. So I really appreciate that. Did you happen to catch me on Twit last week, the This Week in Tech? Leo Laporte and Jason Calacanis and John Dvorak. Who else was there? Molly Wood was there, and also a couple other fellows were there. And I thought that was really kind of fun. We talked about the surprising situation with Microsoft and Yahoo that kind of just snap your finger, whoop, in, and snap your finger. Out. Microsoft is out, at least for the time being. Maybe they're playing hardball. That was my concept. If you haven't heard it, we have a link to it on the site. I think it's probably the internet's greatest listened to podcast. Leo Laporte does an amazing job. Twit.tv or go to our website, Disciplined Investors, right on the front page or somewhere right around there that you can listen to it. It was kind of fun. One of those podcasts that I very strongly consider that you subscribe to because you want to know about technology. There's a lot of stuff there that you can know about. All right, so that's that. And I want also two other points. Number one, Twitter, Andrew Horowitz. You want to follow me on Twitter? I'm just getting going on this thing, but you know, I'll figure this out eventually. But everybody's saying, you got to be on Twitter. You got to be on Twitter. So Andrew Horowitz, and of course, Facebook. Go do me a favor. Let's see if we can get a bunch of you to be friends of mine. I want friends. I only have a few friends. I just started this Facebook thing, and we do some announcements there and have fun and learn about each other and have a little family and all these great things. So do me a favor. Go over to Facebook and request me as a friend. It's easy to find me. I don't know who you are right now. Kind of I talk out, and it's hard to find me. So go over to Facebook for that. All right, so that's that. That's my little list things. Let's see what else. Okay, yeah, all right. Amazon book for sale, still about $13.50. If you haven't gotten it yet, go over there soon. I keep hearing from Audible that it's going up, and I don't know what's so difficult, to be honest with you. But Audible says the book is going up any day now. But you know, you would think they'd have to redigitize it page by page or something, you know, and word for word. But I don't know. Gave it to them on a file, and it was done by you know, fully produced up. We just, you know, sent them. We had our production team send up the file, and weeks have gone by. I don't even know what to say. So if anybody has an answer on why that takes so long, I'd love to find out, because I cannot for the life of me figure it out. I got a few more emails from people that asked me about when we're going to do that free course again, the class where I taught about portfolio management and portfolio mastery with Cyber Trading University. And, you know, if you're interested in that, I probably would be the best idea, because, you know, instead of me promoting it on a day and then figuring out who's going to be where, if you'd like to take that course again, there was a free course, there was a follow-up course, email me at info@thedisciplinedinvestor.com, please, and tell me that you want to take that course. And what we'll do is we'll arrange a day and we'll arrange a time to actually get this going, probably at the end of May, beginning of June. Probably in the beginning of June we'll do it. And then I definitely want to do it in June, because I think that would be the best time, and then we could do a follow-up into late June into early July. I'll be going actually to on a vacation this year, heading off to Thailand and Hong Kong, and you know, after that, you know, of course, we're going to the place that, you know, has the Olympics, so I could just have an unbelievable time trying to go from plane to plane, and in the traffic and the slowdowns. And I don't know why we seem to do this to ourselves. We did it when the last Olympics were in Greece. We were there. Hello. When all of the planes were rerouted, and we were just, it was a mess. And then also, I'm going to be going to a variety of places in Asia. And of course, it has to be that horrible storm. I mean, the count is up to about 100,000 now, and it's just so sad. So if I may encourage you to donate and do what you can when the doors open there, and figure out how to get the food in. I don't know if you read in the newspapers lately, and I don't know where it is today, but they're not letting the humanitarian aid in, and that is just absolutely atrocious. Real shame. You know, really feel bad for the situation, and just seems like every single time this kind of thing happens, it's always the same, isn't it? But I guess that's the way things go, and unfortunately, all we could do is try our best to help. Finally, on the list of things I want to follow up with is I'm doing the Money Girl Show still. I'm still the host or the guest host, and this week I want you to check it out, the Money Girl Show. And let's see what we have here. I think we're going to be asset allocation, and coming up, we're going to also be doing something about the 7 common mistakes that people make, especially new investors. If you haven't done so already, go over to iTunes and sign up for it. I think it's going to be something that really will help you out, especially if you're a new investor. I think it's something that will really do a good job. So make sure to go over there and subscribe to The Money Girl on iTunes. And do me one more favor, and we're gonna end on this point, and then we'll introduce some of the things we're talking about. But could you do me a favor? You know, last week we made the top 50 overall in iTunes. I mean, overall, it was great. Can you do me a favor? Send an email to a friend, an associate, a colleague. Tell them to check out and subscribe through iTunes, the Disciplined Investor Podcast. Let's try to push it up again. And it's great. We have some new sponsors that started, and it's real important now that we have this going, that if we can add some new subscribers and spread the word, hopefully we'll have as much success as we have. I got some great emails from people thanking me for their success with Apple that I mentioned to them several times, the various shorts we had recently, and some of the long picks. We're going to have some of those coming up in the next few weeks, so we can invest wisely in the challenge coming up. And I may even do something on Twitter. So add me to Twitter. Everybody that has Twitter, add me to Twitter. We'll see if we're going to maybe do some CNBC special challenge updates of what to buy and sell for the competition. All right, with that in mind, I don't know if we have any more housekeeping, but we might as well get into this, because I want to talk to Brian Shachman. He joined CNBC in June of 2007, and he was, you know, a general assignment reporter. But now he is, and he did actually, he did a lot of, I don't know if you've seen him before, but he did a lot of sports work and a lot of commentating on various sports, particularly basketball. As a matter of fact, he was a regular on CNBC and held various positions there. But he is now, if you get up early in the morning, I mean, or maybe stay up late at night, I don't know how you want to look at it. He's on, I think, at 4:30 in the morning. He has his own program currently on CNBC, and he is an anchor, as a matter of fact, on Worldwide Exchange. with co-anchors Christine Tan and Ross Westgate. Brian is also the he's the spokesperson for the CNBC Million Dollar Portfolio Challenge. I thought we'd bring him on to pick his brain and ask him questions and find out what's going on and understand more about it. So, Brian, how are you and what's going on?
Not much. Yeah, I mean, this is one of the things where I'm kind of bummed out that I work here because I can't do it.
Oh, you can't, huh?
Well, I mean, I can't win the prizes. I'm sure I could do it just for fun. But, you know, people that want to, I mean, you hit kind of the nail on the head right off the top is that even if you win or don't win prizes, you can test out certain investment styles that obviously you don't want to do it with real money because it might be a little too risky. And you can see, you know, what your risk appetite might be for certain strategies.
But as you're watching these competition, you think the whole time you'll be like, I knew that was going to happen. I could have invested in that and made a bundle on it.
Yeah, I say that every day. I mean, listen, I was talking to, we're not allowed to own stocks here, but I mean, you say that, Apple looked pretty good at 43. and, you know, there's a ton of stories about that. But, you know, these are different fluctuations. I mean, it's a 10-week game. It's a week by week. So you're taking more of a shorter-term outlook than, say, you might do with your 401k or something.
Right. All right, so let's get into the nitty-gritty about this. So it starts on Monday, May 12th it starts. And in order to get, what do people have to do to sign up?
Just go to CNBC.com and just give, you know, essential non-personal information to make sure they can get in touch with you with email and just get your handle and go to it. And you get five portfolios you can use, and you get a million sort of fake CNBC dollars, CNBC bucks, and you can use 100 of those to trade currencies and 900,000 for equities. And that's the kicker here, because all investors are focused on currencies. Now, we've talked about the weak dollar across the board, and when it comes to whether it's rate cuts or other elements that move currencies, well, if you're good at it, and you can make money off it, and that one element is close to real time. All the equity trades are going to be marked to market after the trading day ends, but currencies will be close to real time. So if there's a rate cut or a rate hike or any kind of central bank movement that really will move currencies, you can capitalize on it.
That's kind of interesting, because I think that go with the trend concept and go with what's hot, and obviously currency now, which, you know, a little bit gives me a contrary indicator to maybe where things are at, although I don't think the volatility will really die down. But, again, obviously everybody's really focused on the fact how poorly the dollar has done lately. So, all right, so now we can do this day by day and end of day. So that means essentially you can buy whatever you're going to buy and as much as you're going to buy. No margin, right? You can't use margin, just?
No, you can't. Just what you have.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
What about going short, though? You can't go short probably, right?
No, it's straight investments. And then, again, as the technology gets better and better, I'm sure those capabilities will be able to be added. But, you know, we were pretty ambitious trying to get currencies in there with close to real time. And I'm sure that moving forward, we'll continue to try to enhance it as best you can, even to go inside the market day.
Right. I suppose we probably could use ETFs and go short utilizing some ETFs. So that could be the strategy to hedge, I suppose. I mean, that's a New York Stock Exchange trader.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely.
All right. So last year, I remember, my podcast started almost at the same time last year, so it was almost a year and change. It was a little bit maybe the different day, but about a year and change
Congratulations,
ago.
Congratulations, you're still in business.
Yeah, exactly. I'm making tons of money doing it. So it started about then. And I had a weekly podcast where I would give people ideas on what to utilize for the contest and for the CNBC challenge. And what I was doing really was, you know, balls to the walls, if you will. You know, really going at what would make the money, because you had to make a lot of money in order to win. It wasn't just, you know, in terms of trading, you didn't want to make 5%. You want to make, you know, the big, you know, wham.
Right. You have to really kill it. Yep.
Right. So what I would do is we would find and every single day we'd look for the earnings numbers, because what else is going to move a stock like that we would at least know about. And we went after the earnings constantly. And actually I was in the top, top 1,000 or top 600 for some time. And it was based on just earnings. You know, you just kind of whack the earnings. So from my understanding, that's what people did last year. Do you know if that's what they were kind of?
Yeah, there was definitely a major element was capitalizing on earnings. Another one is if you really are insightful and know your stuff, takeover targets, if there's something that happens within the time window, can be a huge, huge earner. I mean, if there's a 25% premium paid for a company, and you're in on that, you're doing really well.
Right. We had Mike Huckman on recently, and I bet you also another place similar to that is, you know, the pharmaceuticals, where if you have a breakthrough drug, if there is such a thing, you know, something comes out and all of a sudden, wow, it just hits the market, that, although we haven't seen that lately, I guess, but if there was something like that that could happen, that would be another way to play this, I would
right,
suppose.
And the truth is, it's all those things you just mentioned, whether it's earnings or the takeover target or a breakthrough drug, people that know their stuff, that stay on top of the news, will win this.
Right.
You mean, there's not a lot of like, oh, let's throw some spaghetti on the wall and see what sticks.
Mm-hmm.
There's some randomness involved in everything, but this really rewards people that know their stuff.
Well, we need to get into this because I think it's in all fairness, you know, I did promote this last year and talk about
of
this.
Of course.
And we got to talk about, you know, last year there was some controversy towards the end and there was this
yes.
big kind of like, wait a second, you know, because people were making just extraordinary amounts of money. It was kind of interesting. Okay. But then we realized there was some hanky panky going on, which by the way, is kind of interesting because it's when you look at what went on, which was people bending the system and going and finding the glitches and going to find the ways that they can get around it, it was a microcosm for the market itself.
Hmm.
You know, that's what the market, I mean, people are always trying to exploit something, right?
Sure, fear and greed.
Yeah, so what happened? Tell me what happened. Let's get it cleared up so that people are not, you know, they want to do this and they want to know it's fair and that you got this covered.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, it's no problem. It's been reported and it has been discussed. We had some technical glitches and people got into the system. And we had close to 400,000 people involved in the contest last year. And I think that probably, honestly, overwhelmed by the success of it. And I think that CNBC wouldn't have gone at it again had they not felt confident that they could solve those problems. I mean, clearly, there's a couple things to point out. There were definitely problems with it. But in the end, and it took a lot of work, we were able to identify the true winner of the contest, which is really important, A. And B, the fact that we're doing it again and putting so much into it, obviously we've dedicated a tremendous amount of resources to doing the best we can to make sure that this doesn't happen again. Andrew, you know there's no guarantees in life.
Right.
We feel really good about it. And the reason why we worked toward it is because this is something that services almost 400,000 people, and they enjoyed it, and it's a game where they can gain. I mean, why wouldn't you try to do it again? So
mm-hmm.
the IT staff's been working hard at it. And it was a difficult situation, but in the end, we got the right person, and we learned quite a bit out of the whole situation.
Well, I'm hoping that maybe what we could do also is I'm going to follow it this year and see how things go. I may play in it. Actually, my understanding is that if I win it this year, that I get to have a dinner with Maria Bartiromo, a date, actually, with Becky Quick and Maria Bartiromo. Is there any truth to that?
I have to talk to Becky and Maria, but I'm sure
Sure
if we come on a regular basis and you give a certain equivalent in terms of promotion, our friends at PR could work out just about anything.
So let's talk about the prizes. What do people get to win? Hey, on those commercials, were you near that guy with the flipping around that?
Well, you know, it's funny.
What is that?
I got to tell you, they were in our studios for a couple of days,
yeah.
And I kept, you know, they did it during the workday. It was pretty early in the morning, but I my show that I anchor is at 4 a.m. Eastern time. So I walked through their shot like all these times and ruined their shot because I didn't know who this guy was flipping the sign around like a crazy guy.
Right.
No, but they, you know, it's just the guy is actually a professional
sign spinner.
I mean, that's his gig.
There's hope for us.
He's pretty good. And it actually, I mean, he worked up a sweat. I mean, he was working extremely hard. And that's just, you know, that's the ad campaign that they chose on top of this new stuff that I'm promoting. But the thing I like about it, you have this $1 million annuity to split at the end of the rainbow. But you can have a good week and completely take home something that is great. I mean, there's 1 week of trades with your five portfolios, the best week you have. We have Super Bowl tickets, private jet trips to Jamaica, the Turks and Caicos, golf with Annika Sorenstam, World Series, I think Super Bowl. I mean, there's tons of, you can have a Bentley rental, you can have free use of a Bentley for a certain amount of time, Tag Heuer watches. I mean, there's a lot of really, really cool stuff just for a good week. I mean, if you really can nail it, you get real stuff. And I think that, you know, we obviously in our culture, we get exposed to contests and all this stuff all the time,
mm-hmm.
but there's no real concrete thing at the end of it.
Right.
And here you can win stuff.
Right. Well, my goal is, my hope is, and I hope, you know, I think this is the same thing, is obviously there's prizes and all this great stuff, but the educational process of it, you know, and just as a quick side note, and I'm going to talk about this more, I think, in next week's show, but I went to just out of the morbid curiosity of it all, I went to a seminar yesterday, and we'll remain nameless for a moment, but basically it was telling people how in a half-hour day you could trade, make enough money to quit your, as they say, J-O-B. And kind of like, you know, spewing out that the man is, you know, the only one that makes money and you can do it and without much knowledge and all this. And I think that the educational process here of really, you know, having their understanding, doing the research and understanding how to invest and the pitfalls with it, they're going to, you know, not everybody's going to win every single week. Well, I think it's very beneficial for people. So, you know, that's good.
Yeah, I'm, the truth is, it's almost like, you know, the way therapy is. You go inside that door and everything's supposed to stay inside that door. You can do things and try things that you just can't do in any other situation. And I think you're right. And part of, I mean, CNBC caters to a wide range of investors. And the truth is that more and more, especially with Social Security being what it is and 401ks and pension plans being what they are, people have to know what they're doing, mm-hmm. or they're not going to be able to retire.
Right.
And that's just that's a hard truth about the world. It's true for me. I don't know if it's true for you or not. And so the more informed you are, the better. So what better avenue to try than an actual formula that you could say, well, that worked, that didn't work. And you could even try stuff over a course of 2.5 months of the contest. And you have 5 portfolios. You can do one that really tries to get it on a week-to-week basis. You get your one that's more longer term. And of course, you know, in general investments, you know, the 401k philosophy is, you know, buy and hold, but I mean, there's some real elements you can educate yourself. I mean, just like listening to what you do on your podcast or watching CNBC. I mean, there's stuff you can learn every day.
Yep, I hear you. It's great stuff. Hey, thanks for joining us, and we'll make sure to watch you. You got to watch the commercials because this guy is, you know, he's in, you know, you're in the safe, you're in the front of the sign guy. I mean, you're all over the place and promoting it. That's great. And don't forget to get up early and watch. Show. What's the name of your action? What's the title of your show?
It's Worldwide Exchange. I mean, unless you're dealing with a baby that's feeding or you have other issues, people in the Eastern time zone, it's a little bit of a struggle, but we're on all over the planet in like 380 million homes. So I'm really big in India.
Ah,
that's really
nice.
Where I'm honing my stardom right
it's
now.
It's funny because I have this huge following in Germany and I don't get it. It's not. I'm not kidding. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah, but that's funny.
Yeah.
I don't know if that means what your sense of humor is. Yeah. You know, sometimes in Germany, the sense of humor is a little different.
Yeah, that's probably it then.
You take what you can get, Andrew.
Exactly.
The contest starts on Monday, May 12th. CNBC.com has all the rules, an interactive tour, and I highly encourage people to at least check it out.
Well, we'll put the all the links and all the appropriate places and all the things you need to know in the show notes for this podcast. So head on over to disciplinedinvestor.com and make sure to sign up and get on that. We'd like to see your results. Email me and tell me what's going on and listen in. We'll kind of keep track of it over the next few months. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew.
So continuing on with our idea of utilizing this opportunity for the CNBC challenge, I thought what we'd do in the spirit of the CNBC competition to make some money through this whole thing. I mean, how is it that you actually find a stock? How do you go out there and, you know, pick something up that's going to be a real winner? And I thought, who can I talk to that's going to help us with that? And only one name came to mind. That's Brian Shannon, who is Alpha Trends. And Brian is also the author of a brand new book, and we'll let him tell you about that. And I've had the pleasure of having an advanced read. It's awesome. So, Brian, how are you?
Doing good, Andrew. Thanks for having me on again.
Hey, my pleasure. It's always great. You know, I've drank the Brian Shannon Alpha Trends Kool-Aid, you know? I mean, I love your stuff. Your technical analysis is awesome. And what I told you this before, what I really like about it is how easy you make it, because technical analysis, a lot of people think, you know, charting can be kind of voodoo-ish and questionable at times. But I think the way that you've really presented it in your videos that you do daily and in your book is just great. I mean, really. So good work.
Well, thanks. I try to, you know, like as you picked up on, I do try to keep it simple. It's, you know, the market really isn't as complicated as most people make it out to be. It's supply and demand, and there's a lot of emotion that you can't quantify that you can pick up on in a chart.
Yeah. So what was it, you know, this book? Tell us the name of it, and then I want to ask you some questions about, what was how did you come up with the idea to do this?
Okay, well, the official name of the book is Technical Analysis Using Multiple Time Frames. And then I've got a subtitle, I guess you would call it, which is Understand Market Structure and Profit from Trend Alignment. And I made it a longer title because I think it sums up the book pretty good, which is, you know, when most people look at technical analysis, they're looking for something very specific and clear on one time frame. They're looking at a daily time frame and maybe seeing a cup and handle. And rather than trying to understand what creates that cup and handle, most people are kind of trained to look at a pattern and expect a certain outcome. When what you have to do is really take a closer look underneath the surface and understand the psychology of how that pattern's developing, what actions people are taking, and what motivates their decisions to buy and sell. And using multiple time frames, that is, you know, first we'd start out for a swing trader, let's say, you'd start out with a daily time frame, and that allows you to get a picture, you know, bigger picture look at the primary trends. And then what you want to do is drill down to, for instance, a 30-minute time frame that goes back about 20 or 30 days. In there, you can identify key levels of potential support and resistance. And using that information, you can kind of develop your plan and come up with a risk-reward ratio.
Right.
And finally, you take a third time frame, a shorter time frame, and try to get more accurate entries and then manage risk. And it really comes down to managing risk at all times.
Yeah, that is the – I mean, everybody talks the talk, and how many people really walk the walk when it comes to managing risk, don't you think? I mean, isn't that the biggest downfall of most investors?
I think it is, because you tend to think that the market cares what your opinion is, where a lot of people spend, they spend a lot of time analyzing and researching. And, there's a lot of times I'll look at the fundamentals of a company as well, but I've kind of trained myself to say that's just kind of backdrop. It's no different. For instance, a PE ratio in my mind is no different than a moving average. It's just something, an inflection point that allows us to try and value compared to something. So a value investor wouldn't just buy a stock because the PE is 20 mm-hmm. or average down because the PE is 15. That's just a starting point.
Right.
A lot of people want to look at a moving average and say, well, it's pulled back to the 50-day moving average, therefore I'm going to be a buyer.
But, so it's like looking at, if you're looking at PE just in a vacuum, it's kind of like just looking at a stock price without anything on the right or left side of the chart.
Right, and you have to base it with some historical tendencies of the way that the markets trade and looking at that market structure again. So trying to determine, well, here we are near a 50-day moving average, or now the PE is 15. That tells us it's time to take a closer look at multiple time frames, and then assess the risk-reward, not based on just random percentages the way a lot of people say, well, I buy stocks that are at a 15 PE and are at risk 8%. And mm-hmm. what is 8%?
Right.
So if you're a trend trader, obviously the definition of an uptrend is higher highs and higher lows. Well, you want to use that definition of trend to come up with your risk reward. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that, one of the things is that, there's so many different ways to read charts. I mean, just from the basic charts that you're just going to get slapped on you, when you go to any website. And the thing that really struck me about your book, just to kind of cover this again, is first of all, I was totally blown away with your charts. I mean, how many books, I don't think I've seen many, how many books have full color charts out there? And I think that you and I've talked about this before many times, and that was really important to you. And I think that to really express the full depth and to really have people sitting in kind of in your shoes as you're explaining this and looking at what you're looking at versus some kind of representation, I think is just a great way to teach. I mean,
I'm sorry. I've got a library of technical analysis books, and I've looked through them, and it seemed as though one of the missing dimensions was color. And I color code a lot of the things that I do, and in order for that to transfer to the reader's experience, I thought it was important to make the book in color so they could frame the analysis properly.
Yeah. When I look at buying a stock, I always teach in my book, you've read my book, and one of the things is I kind of go through quanta techna funda, or actually quanta funda techna. And what's that? Right. I look at the quantitative analysis, filtering, finding out what's really out there from a filtering from a macro top down, and then look at the fundamentals and say, okay, is this a healthy stock as best as we know it? And finding buy prices and sell prices and target price, et cetera, utilizing not only the fundamentals, but then the technicals. So if my book is one chapter on technicals, okay, and your book makes my one chapter look like green eggs and ham, what I'm saying? That one thing, because you've taken it and really just beautifully done. I mean, I don't mean to keep on praising you and, kissing your tuchus, but, the fact is it's just such a well-done way of doing things. And I think the whole point here is that people really need to get further knowledge if they're trying to invest. And let me just tell you something. I don't know if I told you this week when we talked earlier, but I went to, and it's going to remain nameless for a moment, but I went to a conference this week. I just had to go. And it was this one of these things that, hey, come check us out, sit into this free conference, this free lecture, and we're going to show you how to make money utilizing the stock market. And essentially, I went to this thing, and it was a big rah-rah how, the man has been taking all the money from you, and you're sick and tired for working for the man, and your J-O-B is, going to be in the garbage, and this whole thing. And They were teaching people, this is unbelievable, they were teaching people that for $495, they have to get this education, education, education. They're going to teach you how to get rid of your day job and just trade the stock market with 30 minutes a day. That's it, 30 minutes a day to learn how to utilize the stock market to your favor. I mean, can you believe this?
I've been wasting a lot of time trying to figure this stuff out. I mean, I ought to go to that.
You should go. No, that's what I was going to say. That's what I was telling you. You should go. Because I think that this whole thing, this whole, I mean, 8 hours a day. I mean, come on, Brian. It's a waste of your time.
I know it. There's no black box. There's no magic formula. If there was, then, you know, Fidelity would have it and their mutual funds would be up 100% a year. The fact is there's a lot of subjective analysis that goes into it. And we've got to do whatever we can to minimize our own beliefs and just learn that the only thing that pays is price. I'm sure you saw that probably 100 times in my book.
Right.
And it's funny. I've got one chapter of fundamental analysis in my book. And it's more about the psychology of what drives people to buy a growth stock or the psychology of the short seller and what might motivate them to buy the stock, you know, where's their pain threshold and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, I told you that your VWAP, which you got to buy the book to check this out, but what a great way to figure out where the shorts are going to be really pained and where it's going to be maybe a bounce point. If there's anything that someone can take away, first of all, the book's not available yet, but it's going to be available soon. If you want to check it out, I'll have a link on the show notes to this episode. Just go to thedisciplinedinvestor.com or check out Brian's site. We'll have a link in there, of course, to Alpha Trends. We'll give you the exact URL in a second. But how could somebody utilize, I mean, here's an idea. So the CNBC challenge we're talking about, people are, you know, have $1 million to play with and they have these accounts. So, you know, could they go to your site and kind of get, I mean, how would somebody maybe get some ideas from your website to get some ideas for a daily trade? Any ideas?
Sure. I do put some individual stock ideas up there each day, but I try to make my site a little more educational and give tools to people so that they can learn to think for themselves. I put a stock idea up there this week that I was looking at thinking it looked like a good idea. It had a good chart. You know, big short position, strong fundamentals, and the stock since dropped $2. So
what stock are we talking about? Out of morbid curiosity.
It's called it's AU Optronics, symbol AUO.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a company that just recently, they've got a huge short position in it, and the short position has been growing over the last several months. The company reported earnings just recently, and the stock, you know, ran up a little bit on that. And those earnings were, I think, they were looking for 47 cents. The analysts were 48 cents. The company did $1.12, and their revenues were up 85%.
Wow!
There's, you know, 15 million shares short this stock at an average of about $18 a share. So it's still above that level. So these shorts are still feeling pain. And it's close to an all-time high. It just, you know, the timing wasn't right earlier this week. It still looks good, but you've got to, you know, the important point there is that here's something that I said, you know, it looks like this stock looks good, but, you know, the market doesn't care about my opinion either, Andrew. And that's something that people have to learn to think for themselves and understand that the number one job is risk management, to take a look at an idea. If it makes sense, then get involved. But as soon as it starts going against you, you have to determine, you know, where am I going to admit defeat on this? There's nothing wrong with being wrong, but to stay wrong is just stupid.
Yeah. You know, I as crazy as it's about to sound, I think I told you this, and it's kind of hard for me to admit, but for the next few months, or for a few weeks at least, I am taking the guest host position of the Money Girl show. If I haven't told anybody that yet, I am the Money Girl. I know my voice is a little bit deep. I know I get it. It's a little weird, but, you know, it's a great show. It's great educational, like 5-6 minutes. If you haven't picked up that podcast, go check it out. But the next one I just recorded earlier today was all about the 7 common mistakes that people make. And one of them is that, number one, or one of the things is being overconfident. I think that's a huge problem. The second thing is never, you know, not giving in to the fact that, you know, you made a mistake. I mean, nobody wants to admit that they made a mistake. You know, William O'Neill teaches what? A 7% down is going to be the cut point. It's a rule and a sentence. If people have more discipline and rules and if they study your type of process, I think, and utilizing the methodologies that you teach in this book and on your site, I think that they're going to be a lot better off, because making up for that downside, you know, making up for the losses is much tougher than making the gains to begin with.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I hear you. So how can people order the book? What's the best way? We're going to have you on for a full kind of review page by page soon, but this is kind of a teaser for people. I want them to kind of check it out. Where can they go find the book right now and pre-order?
Well, you can go to technicalanalysisbook.com.
Okay, great.
And I just found out from the publisher yesterday that there will be shipping them out on June 7th. So,
great, awesome.
So we do have a firm date, and that's when shipping will commence.
Great, awesome. I read it. I think it's great. And I think that everybody listening, go over to the site, check it out. Check out Brian's work. Use it for the CNBC Challenge. Use it for your daily, and I think you'll be much better off. Brian Shannon, technical analysis guru, thanks so much for being here, and thanks so much for your kind words and always helping out and giving me some great investment ideas.
Excellent. Thanks for having me on again, Andrew.
The Zach Zone with Zachary Scheidt. Zach is a portfolio manager at Stearman Capital and blogs at zachstocks.com.
Well, hey, Andrew. I have to tell you, looking at next week's calendar, I'm having a hard time getting excited. Next week is going to stink as far as the new issues are concerned. We've got four deals on the calendar so far. There's two IPOs and two secondaries, and not one of them really makes me excited. So you might want to read into this and think about some shorting opportunities with the names that I'm telling you about, or at least staying away from them. The first one, we'll dive into the IPOs first. The first one is American Capital Agency Corp. That's AGNC. This is a pass-through company. Basically, they've not done business yet. What they're doing is they're raising capital in the IPO, and they're going to invest that capital in single-family mortgage securities. Haven't these been in the news lately? All right, so they're buying these things, and they're hoping that they're buying them at a depressed level, and that hopefully their investors are going to make money. That actually might happen. To be quite honest with you, the stock may do well in the long run, but it will not do well right out of the gate. These things never do. So if you're interested in the strategy, you should wait a week or so and buy the stock at a discount. Don't get involved in the IPO. The second IPO is Verso Paper Corp, symbol VRS. These guys supply paper to the catalog and magazine publishers. In case you haven't noticed, we are right now on the internet. This is the digital world. Paper is out. This company doesn't even make any money. There is no reason that you should get involved in Verso at this time. Now, maybe if they trade down big time, they lose 80% of their value, and then they start making money, you might want to buy the stock. But for right now, this is a dog. And reading between the lines, it may be a short opportunity. All right, so moving on to the secondaries. There is one stock that has the potential to make some money for you this month or this week. That's Ascent Solar Technologies, ASTI. This is the only scheduled calendar item right now that I would be involved in, if you can. Right now, they are not profitable, so you want to use caution holding them long term. But the solar industry has been doing very well, and many of their comparisons are trading up. So there's a chance that they could price this thing at a good, decent discount, and you could see it pop. So it's one that you might want to speculate on, but I'm not real excited about it. And then finally, we have AIG. AIG reported pitiful earnings on Friday, and at the same time, they offered stock. Now, the stock was down big time on the news, and they're probably going to have to price the stock in the hole in order to get it done, so that dilutes current stockholders even more. The idea of them selling stock is sort of like a used car salesman coming in and saying, well, this guy doesn't have any brakes, the engine's shot, but I really think you ought to buy it. It's really tough to get excited about this one. However, there are some things I'm getting excited about. Interactive Brokers, we talked about it last week. They reported earnings in late April, and they said they were going to offer stock at $33.50. Management was really tight on this price, $33.50. And the tough thing to figure out was who wants to buy it or who wants to sell it. I'm sorry, who wants to buy it at $33.50 when the stock's trading at 27 something? I mean, I'd rather buy it in the open market than buy it from you at $33.50. So they stuck to their price, and basically the deal didn't get done. They pulled the deal. They realized they couldn't get it done, and they said that they would not try to sell stock for another year. So now that overhang is not pressing the price down anymore, they may actually be a good deal. So I would keep an eye on Interactive Brokers. They were a recent IPO within the last year, and they may get up and start running away from that IPO price. They're still pretty close to the same price that they came out a year ago at. All right, so we've been talking about the CNBC Challenge and how it's kicking off this week, and I want to get into the action as well. So you can put me on record as bullish on Genoptics Inc. That's GXDX. They were up Friday on a strong earnings report, and after the report, basically the institution stepped in and started buying it, and we had quite possibly the highest volume day that they've seen, at least since the week or so after they became public, which was late 2007. Now, this is one of the only companies that came public in late 2007 and actually did well. They're a diagnostic company. They do a lot of oncology work, and they're profitable. They're making some good money, and all the analysts are basically increasing their estimates after this first quarter earnings report. So it's one that has gotten a big kick off on Friday, but it's likely to continue, and I want to go on record as saying that I think it's a great buy. So to keep on top of names like this, I just published a report on Interactive Brokers, but to keep an eye on all these kind of names, please give me a visit at zachstocks.com. That's Z-A-C-H stocks.com, and we will chat again next week.
Hey, thanks so much, Zach. I appreciate all your hard work and all the things that you bring. It's not easy to understand the IPO markets, but nonetheless, you do it in a great way, and thanks for bringing us to that on the Disciplined Investor Podcast. We're going to keep it short here because I'm going to plan on giving you some great stock tips next week. Don't forget to add me to Twitter, Andrew Horowitz. That's the Twitter name. And add me on Facebook. Pick up the copy that you want so badly of The Disciplined Investor over at Amazon. You'll be happy that you did. We have some workbooks coming out. I had some people ask me about, hey, how do I really implement a couple of these things that maybe I want some more information on? We're creating some workbooks for you. So that's going. And next week, I have an announcement for you regarding MSN Money. Check me out also on AOL Finance. I wrote an article this week that's talking about misery, just absolute misery in the markets and some of the earnings that coming out, maybe some short ideas. For that to be a good idea when it comes to shorts, are probably not much that's required these days because these markets, as I've told you, I feel are going to be just crashing and burning very shortly, especially with oil over $125 per barrel. Again, we wish you a great week, and hopefully if you have any ideas, any suggestions, any things you want to bring to me, any critiques or whatever it may be, bring them to me. If you want to give me a review on iTunes, that would be most appreciated. And otherwise, we're going to kick it off right here and say goodbye to you for this week. Andrew Horowitz, episode number 56 on the Disciplined Investor Podcast. See you real soon.
The Disciplined Investor Podcast is sponsored in part by Horowitz & Company, a registered investment advisor and money manager. The information presented in this podcast is not intended to be used as the sole basis of any investment decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the investment needs of any particular investor. Some discussion contain forward-looking statements which are based on current expectations and differences can be expected. The Disciplined Investor's host, Andrew Horowitz, is a certified financial planner and registered investment advisor regulated by the SEC. None of the information presented should be construed as an offer to sell or buy any particular security. As always, use your best judgment when investing.